This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. When you want to reach out to the program, several easy ways to do it. Why don't you give us a call, 1-866-509-4545. Leave a message, mention it's for Kelly and Company, though, please, and give us permission if you don't mind us using your message on air. 1-866-509-4545 to do that. Feedback at AMI.ca if you want to leave a message about Accessible Media Inc. or any of the properties, AMI Tele, AMI Audio, or AMI TV. That's what I'm thinking about that way. Feedback at AMI.ca to toss us an email. Ramya is available on Twitter at All Rams with a Z. I'm at AMI Kelly Mac. On Mondays, we get a lot of our normal contributors to kick the week off really well. Today, though, Rum, pinch hitting because Mr. Richardson is off over there doing Brock Richardson things and isn't with us. See, it's a big secret where he is. Just watch your TV. You might find him on a TV near you one day. Anyway, I digress. We're going to start our week with the latest sports updates. So let's welcome in Josh Watson of the Neutral Zone. Josh, this is what, second or third time you've had to come in here for the Brock Richardson, who is, what's the old school term that we'd say, kind of ditching class?
Playing hooky, something like that?
Yeah.
That's all right. I don't mind.
Yeah, that means you get to come in here and have some fun and, enjoy talking sports on a Monday instead of just on the Neutral Zone, Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, folks. Sir, what's your leadoff item for us today?
Well, this definitely caught my eye. The NBA announced on Friday that they have denied a request by Andrew Wiggins to be exempt from the requirements to be fully vaccinated. Very interesting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the exemption being denied?
Well, personally, I am of the mind that a vaccine is there to help us and it's meant to help us. Guard against whatever is out there. Certainly, we still have to be healthy. And at the end of it, I don't force my opinion on anybody, but the vaccine's there. Why not get it? What's the worst that's going to happen? So I just kind of feel like, why, well, you're a professional athlete. Why would you not take the opportunity to protect yourself?
It's an interesting, when you look at baseball, for example, the Boston Red Sox baseball team comes to mind. They've had recently a COVID brush with it. And they were always wearing masks in their games because if you don't reach a certain percentage, 85% of your team as fully vaccinated, you got to wear the mask. And again, I may be wrong on that, folks. Some of you out there might say it's 80, it's 85, whatever it is. Now, the NBA, Josh, I almost get the impression that it is supposed to be 100% participation unless somebody has, which again, if Andrew Wiggins is applying for it, a darn good reason for why they're not. So what in the long run does this mean for him and the Warriors?
Well, that's a bit of a loaded question, only because the NBA does say that unvaccinated players can play. So they're not going to turn the players away if they're not vaccinated. But the states of California and New York have their own rules and regulations, which do require you to be vaccinated in order to attend an event or participate in an event. So by denying the religious exemption, they're basically, the NBA is basically telling Andrew Wiggins, well, you can't play because your state where your team is based will not allow you to play.
So in theory, he could play elsewhere. Like he could play when they go on the road, other than the other California teams.
That's my understanding, yes. Or the New York teams. Nets and the Knicks, yes,
wow.
Exactly.
It would be interesting to see if that's what shakes out and what happens because, you know, even down to how do your teammates feel, those who have gone through the effort, who want to, and, you know, you try, like you said, to be respectful that someone, you know, may have their legitimate reason. But then when you're put into the position as an athlete, in that position of you've got to be around other people, you've got to be in close contact, you are breathing, you are in that situation where, well, we may have to put you elsewhere. Well, I'm a player. This is what I do. Well, right. Then.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I'm a teammate, and I am a teammate of people, I would hope that they would be vaccinated because, as you say, we're breathing within proximity of one another. We're running into each other. We're sweating on one another.
Like, ew.
It's just, yeah, it's like, I want to know that you've been protected as much as you can be. But again, I'm not going to sit here and say you must be vaccinated because I don't think that's right either, as long as you've made an informed decision.
However, though, it's always kind of a bigger question to think how this is going to influence right out of the NBA, right? Like, you know, influencers, celebrities, athletes, these people have big, big platforms and a lot of critique in the public eye. So I wonder how this is going to play out for, you know, the generic world, how we look
especially
up at
New Yorkers and California, yeah. Right?
Right, exactly.
Big places.
I think, yeah, for sure. I think in New York, they're pretty, at least the sense I've gotten is that they're pretty on board with the whole vaccine mandates and things of that nature based on their governments. California, I'm not so sure about, but I do agree with you. The bigger you are, the bigger your platform and the more influence you have on people. And it is a bit scary, but
yeah.
We have to remember that you can also use that on the other side too. So yep. There's going to be people who say, well, you have to be vaccinated in order to influence the good of the people. But if you don't believe in it, then where's that segment of the population being represented, I guess. But for me, I think everybody should be vaccinated. That's just my opinion. So,
well, we talk about freedom of expression a lot here on the show, especially with Know Your Rights contributor Danielle McLaughlin, and there is right. A lot of expression going on. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Blue Jays. What do you think about how things have gone for them in the playoffs?
My favorite cause of a heart attack. Isn't it wonderful? I love my Blue Jays. I really do, but I'm scared. That series against Minnesota was quite honestly frightening. I expected them to do a lot better than they did. But we have to admit that they're still in the hunt. They're a game back, and they're going into three games starting tomorrow against the New York Yankees at home. And they get to have an increased capacity, which is amazing. So that home field advantage hopefully is going to push them through. The bats started to come around last night. The previous three games, they seem to be stymied, but it looks like they've righted that ship, so to speak. The bullpen is holding together, and starting pitching. Robbie Ray bounced back. Jose Berríos has been good. We'll see what happens with Hyunjin Ryu when he comes off the injured list, but it's trending in the right direction, and I'm going to be keeping my eyes and ears open.
Yeah, that Hyunjin Ryu game tomorrow, that's going to really have your juices going, and that'll take its toll on your heart, wondering what he's going to do. Now, you did mention, and there's no place that can be louder than Rogers Center when it's filled than any stadium. And I know that some of the American stadiums have had their 40,000 in there. If this maximum happens in Toronto, we're looking at 30,000 as the Raptors, Jays, and Maple Leafs have been given clearance to increase the capacity at their games. So that'll help the Blue Jays when dealing with a Yankees team that just swept Boston. But what are your thoughts on this increase for capacity?
I think it's amazing. I think if we look back to the NHL playoffs last year and we see how different the Bell Center was with a limited audience versus the arenas in the States when Montreal had to go in there, I think it makes a huge difference. And I think the way the Blue Jays performed when they finally got to go back to Rogers Center just shows how much of a difference a home field advantage can make. I mean, we saw in Dunedin and in Buffalo, yes, you had your Blue Jay fans, but you had your Rays fans, you had your Yankee fans, you had your Red Sox fans, and oftentimes they outnumbered Blue Jay fans down there. So being at Rogers Center, being at home for these last six games against New York and Baltimore, if they're going to do it, this is the way we want to do it. We want to do it at home. And it's going to be great to see those limits increased, as you said, to the 30,000 as announced on Friday.
So here's a question that kind of takes us back to what sports felt and looked like right at the start of the pandemic, right? When things were coming in and we're like, oh, this is sports now. Does it really matter what size the crowd is?
I absolutely think it does. The noise level of a Bell Center or of a Rogers Center, I think, provides the energy that a home team needs when they are maybe scuffling, struggling a little bit. So knowing that you've got all those people and you've got that noise, that swell that comes up when a fly ball gets hit or when a really great play is made, I think it makes all the difference to a team personally.
It was very interesting too in there because the players were so excited to get back, have their home field, a major league stadium, as opposed to the spring training venues they were using when they couldn't play here. They said it made a difference there. Then you put that 15,000, which sounded pretty darn loud, and now the 30,000 with these guys already achieving, almost getting into the playoffs, a team that this year was not expected to be even in this race the same way as they build. So we're playing with house money, and it really is nice. Josh, I'm going to scoot over to a little hockey. Already we've had some of the preseason games. What have been your impressions?
Well, it certainly looks like the Leafs and the Kraken are going to be world beaters. Ha ha ha. It's one game. It's hardly worth getting excited about. But it is interesting to see, in the case of our Maple Leafs here in Toronto, the players that are getting the ice time in that first game, they're clearly players that Sheldon Keefe and the management team want to get a look at. I think you'll see the same thing in Edmonton. You'll see the same thing in Calgary. Vancouver had a rough night against the Kraken, but it's the first game. And they had a whirlwind of a season last year at the end. So it's going to be fascinating to see. And of course, we've got Montreal trying to get back to the Stanley Cup final again, which I don't think is going to happen personally. But, you know, it is what it is. It's the first preseason game. And the teams that won look amazing. And the teams that lost, the world seems to be ending. So it's important that we all just kind of take a breath and go, it's preseason, and just give me a couple of weeks till we get closer to opening night, and then I can tell you what I think of some of the teams, because it's just too early to tell right now.
And teams are working on stuff. They're not even interested in winning these games as much as getting people on the ice, getting a look at them, seeing what they do. Do you notice in the last years, even before the pandemic, the reduction of amounts of preseason games? And I know we talk about this in baseball. They need to do something about lessening the amount of games. But it seems the other sports have already started that.
They definitely seem to. And I think it all depends. I think if you shorten the preseason, then you're going to see some more, we'll call them wrinkles, I guess, in the first few games of the season, because I've noticed it in baseball where you already have a situation where pitchers seem to be a bit ahead of hitters when preseason starts. And so when you shorten the preseason, it just means that you take that struggle into the regular season.
Yep. Yeah, they're using that time in April to start. Josh,
exactly.
Awesome, pal. Thank you for jumping in here in lieu of Mr. Richardson being out sneaking around or whatever he's doing, enjoying his Monday off. Thanks, pal.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure being here, guys.
Joshua Watson joining us here from the Neutral Zone. You can join him and the rest of the team on AMI Audio at 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen, and when we return, Bethany Deer, our TV reporter in Edmonton, is going to be here to preview tonight's episode of AMI This Week, featuring the Rocky Mountain Adaptive. Stand by. You've been listening to Kellyaid Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.